Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Italian football, there it is, summed up perfectly. Campionato di calcio
italiano.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Dov is back again, and this time we're going to talk about AC Milan. And to help me talk about AC Milan, I've got Rosella Marairico, who's a journalist, a social media extraordinaire. She's from South Africa, and you've probably all seen her on Twitter tweeting about Milan, which she does semi-regularly. Rosella, how are you?
Thank you, Dov. I'm well, and yourself?
Yeah, good. I'm excited about the new season, and I'm excited to talk about Milan because it's been quite the summer. It looked like it was going to be another, here we go again, another takeover, a new era, like start of the next job, whatever. But it's actually seemed to be all right. So I want to get your thoughts first on what you were thinking at the start of the summer with the Mr. Lee's sale or not paying the debt and things like that. And where was your head at that time?
Honestly, I was like, oh no, not again. It's, you know, Milan, endless drama all the time with the Yong Hong Lee. He really seemed to hang on to Milan until the last second. He just was like a bulldog with a bone and didn't want to give up, even though we knew that, you know, his time was over. When the rumors of the Ricketts family and the Rocco Commisso coming came about him, fans, you know, got semi-excited and they looked like there was potential to get rid of the Chinese and you know, start to turn over a new page. It was obviously chaotic for the fans. They were in Europa League, then they weren't in Europa League.
I didn't even think about that. I totally forgot about that. I said, yeah, they were out of Europe for a point as well.
And then they're back in again. So obviously it's been a little bit crazy. But I think this Elliott's takeover has been a blessing in disguise. Despite it being owned by a hedge fund, I don't know how many top European clubs have been owned by currently owned by hedge funds. Probably not many. But Elliott seems to the project seems to be really thought out through and through, and it seems to be really promising so far.
Well, I think the thing about Elliott is, which I think this is probably the biggest positive, is because they're a hedge fund. At the end of the day, they just want to make money. That's their aim. They don't want to win the Champions League or win the Coppa Italia or sign Lionel Messi. They just want to make money. That's their end goal. So, but they realise to make money, they have to have some kind of on the pitch success. Otherwise, you don't make any money in football, essentially.
And absolutely.
And that's their point. And it seems like they're kind of doing everything right by, I think the biggest appointment, or probably the one that's had the biggest impact since they took over, is the return of Leonardo, former Inter coach Leonardo, who everybody was going crazy about him coming back. Like, how could he come back? He's managed Inter, he betrayed the club. However, he's done not bad.
No, he definitely hasn't. To be honest, you know, the little Milan fans, I mean, I say little, I was a little bit hesitant at first to see Leonardo come back, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the Milan fans were. But he obviously left Milan for Inter and then subsequently didn't really do right by Carlo Ancelotti at PSG, because we've seen Carlo Ancelotti write about it. So he kind of left a little bit of a tainted impression on me and probably a lot of the fans too. However, there's no doubting his work ethic and what he does. He is phenomenal at what he does. And after arriving at the club, he pulled off an incredible swap deal with Bonucci and Caldara, and then brought in Higuain to the club. So he's really worked his way up into earning the forgiveness from the Milan fans. And obviously him also bringing in Maldini, things seem to be going very, very well. And he really, really has taken the bull by the horns and asserted himself in the transfer window and as a club director. And I think the fans have pretty much forgiven him at this stage of the transfer window.
Wait till October, right? Wait till October and everything goes pear-shaped, and then it'll be all Leonardo's fault. You mentioned Maldini as well. He's obviously not been involved in the club since he was a player. And again, that's another one that kind of ended on a semi-sour note, with him obviously having a bit of a tit-for-tat with the ultras at the end of his last home match. And kind of not coming back to Milan for obviously reasons that he didn't think that he was welcome. Some people that used to be in the Milan's hierarchy didn't particularly like him. So what's kind of your thoughts on that in terms of him coming back into the club as well?
Well, you know, besides the little rift with the ultras that he had, since he retired, the majority of the fans, let's put it this way, have been waiting for him to return to the club in one way or another. I think Maldini always knew at the back of his mind that he would one day return, but always remained, you know, kind of true to his values and his thought processes, and said he would only return if he understood the role and if the project was a very clear and a project that could, you know, be long-term and beneficial to the club. He wasn't going to come in as a face and kind of be the shadow or the, you know, kind of ghost away the potential problems that were happening underneath. So I think his return speaks volume for what Elliot, with them having come in, what they have done for the club and the project that they have put in place. Maldini knows that it's not going to be a one-year situation like Yong Hong Lee was last year. There genuinely seems to be a sense of hope around the club, and the fact that he's here as a massive figure is, you can see there's a shift in the dynamic of the club already, and there's an air of positivity.
Yeah, well, that's really the thing. It's been like Milan fans have kind of went through like a roller coaster of emotions of like disaster to kicked out of the Europa League to there is a real air of kind of optimism and positivity about the club, about what they can do as well. And I think with Leonardo and Maldini to an extent, the kind of thing that's led that has been the transfer window, which is for me been phenomenal. You mentioned already the Higuain, Caldara, Bonucci stuff. They've just signed Bakayoko as well from Chelsea, who's coming in the midfield, and and Gigi Donnarumma pretty much looks like he's staying unless something crazy happens in the next week or so. So that all looks good. So let's start with the Higuain, Caldara, Bonucci thing, right? Were you sad to see Bonucci leave, first off?
To be honest, not really. Bonucci,
he was the captain, he had the grinta, he scored against Juve, did his little twirly thing. What else could you want in a player?
He came in, he was hungrier than ever when he arrived. He said all the right things to win over the team, and he actually, when he arrived, he was probably the first port of call for hope, that first flag that rose where the Milan fans were allowed to start believing again. And I think his arrival last year did signify a change in the club. But obviously, with under ownership, things weren't great. He knew it as well. There's already reports that said he wanted to leave in January already. We always knew that he wasn't going to really leave Italy, because of his son, and hopefully his son will fully recover and is stronger than ever. But he wasn't there long enough to really become, you know, be classified as winning the hearts over. Yes, he did really well last year, and he was that first symbol of hope. But whether or not he'll be, you know, a lot of the fans have been missed. I don't think so, particularly along the lines of having Caldara come in, because we kind of his exit benefited Milan with the likes of Higuain and Caldara both coming in. Milan's future defence in the next 10 years now is basically secured with Romagnoli and Caldara in there together. And we've got a proven goal scorer. So I think, you know, Bonucci...
How did he pull it off? Because it's not often you see Juventus get the bad end of a deal. And I think they've got the real bad end of that deal.
Absolutely. I mean, again, this boils down to Leonardo. He is slick at what he does. He is very, very slick. And I think he saw an opportunity where Bonucci really wanted to leave. Juventus really wanted someone like Bonucci back because they are gunning for the Champions League. And they know that they can only do that with the experience Bonucci provides them, the ball playing that he gives from the back. Whereas Caldara will still need time to settle in. Obviously, Bonucci will probably have been first choice. But you got a better chance of winning the Champions League with Bonucci than you do with the likes of, you know, Caldara there or Rugani in there. And obviously, with Bonucci, you know, he would have probably been first choice ahead of Caldara. However, Bonucci has proven that he can be a little bit of a hot-headed at times. He gives away penalties in the last minute, like we saw against Real Madrid. And he ends up also getting a little bit suspended, unnecessarily suspended at times. So Leonardo saw the opportunity of Bonucci wanting to leave and Juventus wanting Bonucci. And I think he just pounced on it and made sure he just got the better end of the deal. And kudos to him.
Well, yeah, exactly. It was brilliant at the end of the day. And obviously Higuain coming in, I think, for me, this is massive. They got rid of Kalinic, which... God knows, Leonardo deserves a medal for that. I think more than Caldara, Bonucci, for getting rid of Kalinic, not to any other team, to Atletico Madrid as well, and bringing in Gonzalo Higuain, which, watching Milan last season, the thing that they missed the most was a goal scorer. I think the only player that got into double figures was Cutrone, and he only got 10. So
absolutely.
Gonzalo Higuain coming in is going to be the... kind of the final
game changer.
Yeah, an attacking sense, I think, definitely as well. And then the last one we kind of mentioned was Donnarumma, who now has competition from Pepe Reina. So, I mean, it looked like he was going to leave after everything last summer, and possibly with Milan getting the Champions League as well, it looked like he was going to be on the off in the summer. But he's not left either. What on earth is... what's happening? It's just ridiculous.
You know, it is. It's very, very strange. A lot of fans were obviously expecting the many transfer rumors to happen about Donnarumma again. I think the reason why those rumors haven't really surfaced is because the minute Mirabelli left, those rumors kind of died down. There's been no talk of his exit. And I think that is largely because last year Mino Raiola was turning the pot a little bit, because we all know that Raiola and Mirabelli did not get along at all. So with Mirabelli now out, I think Raiola is a little bit more at peace, and he's let Donnarumma obviously continue his time with Milan. And I think it's also because Donnarumma didn't really perform as well last season. Mm. You know, we saw him, you and I both witnessed at the Stadio Olimpico, you know, when Donnarumma let in those two gaffes against Juventus in the Coppa Italia final. He's still very prone to silly errors, and he still needs time to develop. He's still got years ahead of him where he can progress and mature. And I think Milan is the perfect place for him to do that. And they'll be patient with him. And I think he's realized that. Whereas if he went to PSG, they would have demanded, you know, having paid 60 million for him or whatever they were going to pay for him. They would have demanded instant results and you know, excellent performances. And we've seen that he's still not 100% there. So it's the right time. And I think he's realized it's time to just sit down and, you know, give his career that time to just progress with Milan and develop.
And obviously with Pepe Reina being there, he's kind of got...
Absolutely,
the perfect fodder. Yeah, to kind of help him along as well. I think the other good thing, I don't think Pepe Reina will be at Milan to sit on the bench. He's getting paid 3 million euros a year. I don't think you pay somebody that much just to sit there and do nothing. So he's obviously going to be also pushing him and kind of giving him some of that experience as well.
Absolutely. The competition will be very healthy between the two of them. And, you know, Donnarumma didn't really have that last year. He had his brother there, who a comfort zone. And, you know, Storari, who was injured half the season anyway. So it's really, Pepperina coming in is a great thing, and they will definitely like go toe-to-toe in terms of competition, and I think that will be great for Donnarumma's development. And again, he also provides a good experience for him. So, yeah.
How do you see the midfield then? Because that's kind of, it looks like Milan have kind of focused on the two opposite ends of the pitch, and then have kind of recently started to look at midfield. Obviously, you've got the Bilia, who came in last year with Kessié. Bakayoko's coming from Chelsea. Halilovic, who had the tag wonder kid, hasn't really fulfilled that. There's talk of Milinkovic-Savic, which I think possibly could be a bit too expensive. I mean, how do you see the midfield operating? There's also Bonaventura, who nobody really talks about too much as well.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, obviously, with the likes of Bakayoko just about completing his deal as we speak. He'll come in as a great backup to Kessié, I think.
Is that how you think they'll play that? They'll have him and Kessié rotating, or do you think they'll play them together?
Well, I think there'll be both, because, you know, we know Bakayoko is definitely that Gattuso-type, Grinta-style player that Gattuso loves. And I think Bakayoko will thrive under him, just as long as he manages to get that, regain that form that he showed at Monaco. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of sometimes, depending obviously on the team, the opposition that they're facing, you might have Kessié just as one man.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the middle there, where he's more takes on the defensive role and breaking up the play. But obviously, when you're in a more facing a team with more attacking opposition, Bakayoko could definitely come in and help Kessié there. But Kessié, we saw last season, he ran ragged. He was tired. He played played the most games out of everyone at Milan, besides obviously Donnarumma. Mm-hmm. But out of the outfielders, he played the most, and he needed a break. So I definitely think there'll be a lot of interchanging between him and Bakayoko, but also Bakayoko on the side, just depending on, obviously, the opposition that they play. We know Bilia as very inconsistent at times, but also a great mastermind. However, very injury-prone. And I think there again, when, you know, depending how he fares, we'll see what happens with him. But Milinkovic-Savic will be very exciting. Leonardo's already said that it's a dream, but it's a dream that's unlikely to happen. Mm. But the rumours lately have been suggesting that he could come in, and he'll be an exciting talent if he does come in. Romagnoli is currently with him, actually on holiday right now, so maybe Romagnoli is the new agent.
How do you know this, Rosella? Have you been looking at players' Instagram?
So, you know, we've already seen what Paul Pogba has been an agent on certain occasions for players. So maybe Romagnoli can do that now that he's now captain. He can start trying to convince players to come in. So it's going to be very interesting. I think Gattuso will mainly go, with three-man midfield. But it's just depending on, obviously, the team and the opposition that we face, yeah.
There you go. Right, so expectations then. Obviously, last season, it was Champions League or nothing. That was Milan's aim was Champions League with the financial models that they had submitted to UEFA. That's what they wanted. They didn't get it. So then, like we mentioned earlier, they were out of the Europa League, but now they're back in the Europa League, so it's all right. They're in Europe. What do you think the club expect to do this season, and what do you expect from the team? So there are two questions in one.
I think Milan are expecting to, again, qualify for Champions League. They absolutely have to. It's been a long time coming. There's been all these endless promises, and the signings that they've made, obviously, over the course of the last 2 years. They have a squad that could potentially qualify for Champions League in fourth place. So realistically, I think fourth place is Milan's best bet. But it's a consistency in that. I think if Gattuso doesn't do well, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the sack and Antonio Conte comes in, because there's been a lot of talk about that. Mm-hmm. But fourth place, realistically, I think is what Milan can do, are hoping to do, and what they can do. But anything lower than fourth will be very disappointing for them this year.
So you think, say, we get to October, Milan are languishing in mid-table, Gattuso's had a few bad results, you think Elliot would not hesitate to get him out and get Conte in, given that it looked like they were maybe even going to do that earlier on in the summer?
Absolutely, I definitely think so. Conte's obviously still got he's got to settle his dispute with Chelsea and all those things that are going on there. But I definitely think Conte is probably a backup if Gattuso doesn't do well. But in saying that, Gattuso has improved as a coach, and we've all seen, like, when Milan played Juventus in the league game, not in the Coppa Italia, hey? But even in the first half of the Coppa Italia final, they played well. They played very tactically astute and matched Juventus and, the big clubs at that level. It was just the final errors in defence and up front, particularly up front, with obviously Kalinic missing a lot of those goals. Cutrone, obviously, too inexperienced to knock them in. So it's just those little niggles. And if Gattuso can sort those out, I think definitely he'll be able to qualify for fourth.
I think another kind of positive in terms of Gattuso, like you mentioned as well, he loves his grinta and he loves his running around, just run and run and run until he can't run anymore. And that's something that all the players said, that under Montella, they didn't feel like the training was difficult, but under Gattuso, they felt like it was. And he's now had a pre-season with the team as well, where he can kind of get them to a physical level that he thinks is acceptable from the start of the season, instead of kind of trying to do it halfway through. So I think that will also be quite beneficial to the team as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Obviously, we've already seen Calhanoglu and Kessié, the way they have actually thrived under Gattuso's leadership. Calhanoglu said that Gattuso has been the most influential coach he's ever worked alongside in his career. So it's all about getting that fitness level and understanding that philosophy that he brings. And he needs players that, fight. And fight for him and fight for the game, the result of the game. And now that they've had a full preseason alongside each other, working together, they're gelling a lot more. And we'll see a lot more heart in Milan this year.
One of the things, there's not going to be any dissent in the dressing room as well. I can't imagine any of the young guys. Well, they didn't do it last season, but I can't imagine any of them will try and stand up to Gattuso, because that is a mistake in itself.
Ooh, and scary.
Exactly. It's just something nobody wants to do.
No.
Right, okay. Let's kind of just shift over for a couple of minutes to talk about the rest of the league, because last season I wasn't too excited about Serie A, I'll be honest. I've said this to all the other people I've spoken to. Because I just thought, Juve have won it again. Oh, here we go. Like, we're never going to get a title race. However, this time, Juventus are pretty much going to win Serie A. I think everybody's more or less decided that already. But I'm a bit more excited about it this season, because I think Milan have had a fantastic market, like we've discussed. Strengthened in key areas all over the park, key areas where they needed to as well. Inter have done the same. I think Roma have been very interesting. Napoli have got an improved coach, although I'm a bit unsure of them just yet. Lazio have kind of pretty much kept the same team that almost qualified for the Champions League. So you've got kind of below Juve five teams that are all really, I think, quite equal. I don't know if you agree or not.
Oh, I agree, definitely. I think Inter has really, really impressed me this transfer window. We've just seen that they've announced the signing of Keita Balde. They brought in Asamoah from Juventus, someone who offers so much diversity and versatility on the left flank. Mm-hmm. De Frey in the back line, Nainggolan, as we see from Roma, has come in, and he's a great player to have, a utility player. Seria, you know Seria very well. Very an inter-type player, actually. We saw what Lautaro Martinez, a very exciting talent. We'll probably push Icardi a little bit more as well now. The goal he scored against Atletico Madrid. So Inter have really, really impressed me. And I think if anyone can go toe-to-toe with Juventus in the Scudetto title race will be Inter. They're very exciting. Obviously, Napoli, with last year having come in second, having been on top of the Serie A standings for the majority of last season, a lot of people are supporting them or favoring them. But with Ancelotti coming in, it's very exciting. 5 years ago, we would never have said Ancelotti, Napoli would have attracted a coach like Ancelotti. But Ancelotti's there now, and he's won major trophies everywhere he goes. So who knows? He could definitely maybe bring a potential silverware to Napoli this year.
Yeah, I think Napoli have improved coaching-wise. I think Ancelotti's a better coach than Sarri, and he's kind of proven it over his career as well, everywhere he's been. But I don't know why it is. Obviously, I've only seen them in pre-season, which you can't read too much into, but I've been a bit unsure that they won't be able to do what they did last season again. Unless they do something crazy this week.
It will be hard for them to definitely, convey the same performance that they did last season. Sarri had that attacking, fluid, very attractive style of play, and they bought into that philosophy.
Mm.
Now they've got to come in, they've got a new coach, and they have to buy into that Ancelotti philosophy, and it's not going to be easy because they've been so adjusted and well-oiled with Sarri, that Ancelotti does come in with his own ideas, his old, very old-school philosophies. And we saw that didn't really work with the likes of Ribery at Bayern Munich. So it'll be very interesting to see how that does impact, how he impacts the Napoli squad.
There you go. And Roma, what do you think about them? Because they've had another one. They've obviously lost Nainggolan, but I think they've done a lot of shrewd business, a la Monchi.
Roma, very, very interesting. Yeah. As you say, a la Monchi. Very, very interesting business with the likes of Javier Pastore coming in. Great to see him back in Serie A, obviously having been surplus to requirements at PSG, but that's because Neymar arrived and, you've got Neymar, Mbappe, Cavani, there's just too many difficult stars. Exactly. So I think he will do very, very well. We've seen the arrival of Justin Kluivert, and a very, very exciting young talent. So he will, I think, depending how much game time he gets, because obviously he's still got to adjust to the league But, he's seen his father can relay some experience to him, having played in Italy too. It's very exciting. I've got Unders there, so hopefully he can, get a lot more game time now. So we've seen them last year. We saw them do very well in the Champions League.
Mm.
Defensively, though, I still question Roma quite a bit because they are known that they're very prone to letting in a lot of goals. So
and now they've not got Alisson to bail them out either.
Exactly. Alisson is gone, so that's, there again, they've got to start looking at that department now and just see how they can, get winning. So let's see.
There you go. Right. So I'm going to assume that you think Juve are going to win the league. What's your top four?
I'm going for Juve, obviously Scudetto, Inter second, Napoli third, and Milan fourth.
There you go. They'd get in there eventually. right. Perfect. Well, that's us. Pretty much finished, Rosella. If you could tell the lovely people where they can find you on the social media.
You can find me on Twitter with @ Rosella Marai, and there I am tweeting a lot and just a little bit about Milan. So.
Just a little bit. And she's probably on Instagram as well.
Yes, I am @ Rosella Marai _ Rico. There you go.
There you go. Perfect. Well, Rosella, thank you very much. And
thank you.
I think we're going to find that Milan have a very interesting season. We'll see how it goes, though.
Definitely. Thank you for having me. Che confusione sarà perché ti amo. È un'emozione che cresce piano piano. Stringimi forte e stammi più. Se ci sto bene, sarà perché ti amo. Io canto al ritmo del dolce tuo respiro. È primavera, sarà perché ti amo. Cade una stella, ma dimmi dove.
ci spostiamo, secca del mondo.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.